Okay, let's begin our discussion of Yerushalmi Shabbos Daf Samach Gimel as we continue our march through Perek Klal Gadol. Three more blot here regarding Klal Gadol as we speak about all the malachas and then get ready for a long time talking about Hotza'ah. But that's on the horizon. But right now, we are in the malachas and we are on Samach Beis Amid Beis. We're in the middle of talking about malachas that don't come up that often, and that is Meisech, stretching the strings, the threads on the loom, Osishte Batinirin, making the little loops that the strings go through, as we have all the picture books relating to the loom. So we spoke about if somebody sets up the loom, it's going to be Bona, and the Yerushalmi seems to say Yesh Binyan Bekalim, which is a big machlokas in the Gemara, and a machlokas Rashi Tosfos in Shabbos Daf Kuf Beis, and different lumdis questions about the malacha of bona, whether you hold that bona is limited to items, structures that are connected to the ground, or even applies to bona. Okay, we'll have to get back to that at some point. But now let us continue where we're up to. Hahein to avad, right? In the middle of Samach Beis, Amar Beis. Hahein to avad, milin arsavan. If somebody is making a wooden bed, arsavan is a type of bed, milin is a type of wood. So somebody makes pieces of wood to make a bed, la orech, if you, the lengthwise, bishem mesech, that's like mesech, which is a chiddush. You might think mesech only applies, that means spreading the threads on the loom. But here, the Yerushalmi seems to be holding, you know, if you're starting the process of any utensil or item, and you spread out the items that are going to be lengthwise, that's mesech. L'rocha mishem oreg. We're talking about wood here, according to one pshat. So oreg, to say it's weaving, and it's not threads, it's just interlocking pieces of wood, that's a chiddush. Again, unless you give a different shot of what milin is. But if you say wood, which is one of the shitas here, so then that's a chiddush to apply it in this case. Right? The Karban Eidah says, min eitz sheshmo milin uimenu osin mitos. You make beds. Make beds. Okay, so mesech and oreg. Kan kaloton, that means if you make the beds, but there are space in between the pieces of wood, mishem osa batim. So that's like the loops, because you're leaving space for the threads to go in between. Kan makatea, when you cut them to size, mishem machatech, gomar malachto, mishemake, bepatish. Good. Shnei nirin, one more line relating to batin nirin. Shnei nirin b'chaf echad, shnei chafin b'nir echad. What does that mean? Right, the way that Reb Chaim Kanievsky understands it is whether it is two strings in one loop or one string in two loops. Either of them are going to be the malacha, right? It's also shtei batinirin. So shtei batinirin might be two strings in the same loop or one string through two loops. Both of those are the malacha. Fine. Ha'oreg, and then we have the next. Ha'oreg shnei chutin, ha'potzeh shtei chutin, ha'kosher v'hamatir. Those are the next on the list. Again, weaving, we mentioned that this group of malachas is all about what we might call sidur de begadim, right? We went the first 11 were sidur de pas, and now we're in the sidur of begadim, which had gozes through kosher and matir, right? You shear it, then you clean it, then you comb it, and you color it, and then you make the threads, and then you make the beged. A tofer, and then you tie it, kosher and matir, you tie the edges. So ask the Gemara, makshir ayibim haisim mishkan. Where was kosher in the Mishkan? And kosher is a very lamaisa malacha, in terms of tying things together, in terms of tying one's shoes, and tying the knots on if a woman has a head covering, making a tie. I'm not saying any of these are usser. I'm just saying that you have to talk about kosher in this context. So where was kosher in the Mishkan? Where was the amalach of kosher? So the Gemara is going to have three suggestions. Three suggestions. Number one, shei kosherin esamitarim. Number one, when they set up the tent of the Mishkan, and they tied the tents, the sides, to the pegs. When you build a tent, you stick a peg in the ground, and you tie the side of the wall of the tent to the peg. That's what it is. Meisarim, which are like yesedos. So, shot number one. Says the Gemara, velo lisha haisa. We're talking about the av malacha, which means it has to be a malacha daraisa. But we know there's a principle called eino shel kayama, which applies by certain malachas, not all malachas. Some malachas, it doesn't matter how long I'm planning to have it there, I did the malacha. Let's say I clean a shirt and I'm planning to like get it dirty in 5 minutes. I did the malacha. It doesn't matter if it's eino shel kayama, only 5 minutes. It's still the malacha. But certain malachas, have inherently for it to be daraisa, it has to be kayama. And if it's not kayama, and most it's going to be derabanan, writing. Writing. What if I use invisible ink that's going to disappear in 5 hours? So that's going to be only derabanan. That's not going to be daraisa. It's a malacha. It's not. Right? What happens if I on a fogged up window I write Shabbat Shalom, right? So I just violated an issur derabanan saying Shabbat Shalom, right? But that's not going to last forever. So that's going to, when the sun comes out. So derabanan. So kosher also. Kosher also. What's kosher? Shein hasher kayama. Let's assume, I don't know, within 24 hours. If you tie something for within 24 hours, that's going to be a mosa derabanan. So sometimes Einu Shekayama makes it mutter. But here, ask the Gemara. They didn't know how long they were going to stay in the Mishkan. They tied the pegs and the curtains. So wasn't that Lisha'ah? And therefore it's only Einu Shekayama. So how could be that? That could be the Avmalacha of the source of kosher. So answers the Gemara. Amar Reb Yosa, Mikivan, Shahayuchonin Venosin Al Piyadibur, Kimi Shehula Olam. An amazing line, right? Since they have to listen to Hashem, so that's Ke'ilu is the Olam, meaning in their mind, they're not making the decisions. This is it. This is permanent for me. It could be in 5 minutes from now, Hashem will tell me to move it. But in my mind, I don't have in mind to move. So what's the definition of Kayama and Yerushal Kayama? If I don't know, and it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not in my control, from my vantage point, I'm making this and I'm going to stay as long as Hashem tells me. That's it. That's Shal Kayama. Right, there's a similar line in the Bavli on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Bey. Similar line in the same kind of discussion, right? Kivanch, the line is in a different context. The Gemara is talking about Soser, and the Gemara says Soser Amanaz Livnos. The Gemara has a line Kivanch Dichsiv Api Hashem Yachanu Kisoser Amanaz Livnos Bimkomo Dami. So the rules are different. So that's the Gemara. It says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosa. One more line. One second. Hashem says you're going into Eretz Yisrael. So you know it's not going to be permanent. So you're right. If Hashem, it's up to Hashem. So Hashem might say I'm going to stay here forever. But you know that's not true. You know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking you into Eretz Yisrael. He promised. It might take 40 years. But he promised. So that can't be the makar. So the Gemara is going to abandon this suggestion and go to a different suggestion. It's not talking about the kosher into the ground, which is only temporary. Look at the post can talk about this. Lamaisa, there's a Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi in the Tshuvas Chadashim. The Tshuvas Chadashim in the back. So he talks about what kesher shel kayama is. And he says, he quotes this idea. He says, Bishasha kosher hayesedos, enam yodim masayatiram. When they tied the pegs, they didn't know when they have to be untied. Shafi Hashem Yisu, v'yefsha shi'itzava lisa bo bayom, v'yatira k'sharam bo bayom. After show kama, lo mikri shel kayama, kivin she'ena davar tali b'daitam. It's not called, what is the maskan is, it's not called shel kayama, v'zat tali b'daitam. V'ena atam yodea, ad masa, ad ma, yeh kesher kayam. So he talks about, right, kayama she'ena shel kayama. So again, the poskim say, 24 hours. Less than 24 hours, Pashas is not Shel Kayama. And that's why, let's say somebody ties their shoes, and they're, it's going to be untied within 24 hours, that's okay. If it's going to be tied more than 24 hours, that's already we don't do. We don't do it because we don't know, the Rama already says, we don't know what, we'll get to kosher in Perek Eluk Sharim. But by kosher, there are always two elements. There's the type of knot and the amount of time and the duration. Those are the two factors by knots. And there's certain types of knots that are so professional that even doing it for 2 hours would be a problem, at least me Durabanan, because it's a professional of a knot. You can't get it out. And tying one shoes, you know, generally, you know, it's they get untied and not so professional. So within 24 hours, generally, that is okay. But anything more than that would be a problem. So what about, so the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva. The Avnei Nezer tshuva, he says, Maisim b'chol yom. Maisim b'chol yom. You borrow somebody's tefillin. You borrow somebody's tefillin. I don't think this is Maisim B'chol Yom, because most of us don't know how to tie and untie the knot. But let's say you're a professional and you know, so you borrow somebody's tefillin to make the knot bigger because you want it to fit your head. And then you're going to make it smaller again because, you know, the guy who you borrowed it from doesn't have such a big a head. So you're going to put it back. So you ask the Nezer, don't you need a real kesher for tefillin? Ukshartam la'usal yadecha? So if you know you're going to untie it within 24 hours, you know, isn't that a problem? It's not a kesher shakayama. That's the Avnei Nezer's kasha. Avnei Nezer's kasha in Orachaim, Simin Kufpei. Ma'isim b'chol yom she'adam shol tefillin mechaber u'matir akesher v'kosho l'fi midas rosho v'sof alach zero bo b'yom l'atiruk d'ilasu l'kosho l'chadchila v'im ki lo havi kesher shakayama. So I don't know. So Rav Soloveitchik thought this wasn't an issue. What are you comparing Hilchos Shabbos to Hilchos Tefillin for? Only Hilchos Shabbos has the requirement of shel kayama in that way about time. But that factor is a factor of Hilchos Shabbos. But for Hilchos Tefillin, maybe only factor one is a factor, and that is a serious objective knot. And as long as it's a serious objective knot, even if it's going to stay for half an hour, that's okay. Because for Hilchos Tefillin, you don't need more than that. Right? Different definitions for Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Tefillin. That's the Avnei Nezer and Rav Soloveitchik's idea about shel kayama in a shel kayama. So the Gemara has the first suggestion here about where's kosher the Av. So we rejected the pegs one. So Amar Rabbi Pinchas number two. Mitofrei Yerios Lamdu. From those who sewed the curtains. They sewed the curtains to each other. Right? Sewing the curtains. Now, the curtains, you'll make have a big area of a beged, and you tie them together. So it'll be Tofrei to Yerios Lamdu. Why? Where they do kosher there? Isn't that just Tofer? You Tofer. You tie, you sew things together. That's the malach of Tofer. Where do you have kosher knotting, tying? Nifsak. What happens if one of the threads rip? And you have to tie two threads together. So, haya kosher. That's where kosher was when tying these together. Nifsak haya kosher. Chazar v'nifsak. What if it later on on the string rips again? So now what do you do? You're going to have a knot here and a knot there and a knot there. It's not going to look nice. La sosang sharm sharim. Make another knot. Yefshar. You can't do that. Why? Karbon eda. Second line. Migunehu. Doesn't look nice. You have so many knots in the curtains. The Beis HaMikdash has to look gorgeous. Ella, so what would you do in that case? If now you have another knot, you go untie the first one and just put in a longer string. So you're only going to have one knot. So there's untying. There's matir. So we have kosher, tying the knot, and then matir. Ella choser, matir, esarishon. Good. That's number two suggestion. Amar Reb Chizkiya. Now we're going to get to number three. Number three suggestion, where was kosher? Reb Chizkiya. Hahein chaita umna. These professional tailors. Mavla train Mosheha. Mavla is like literally to swallow. They would insert the two ends of the edges sticking out without tying it. They don't want it to be, right into the stitching, like the hem. They would stick it in. Where did Reb Chizkiya say this? So we didn't get to number three yet. But Haida Amrada, where did Reb Chizkiya say this? And just to note, the Karbon Eda points out here, to have threads sticking out of the edges by the curtains of the Mishkan, it's not like little threads that wouldn't be noticed. Remember, every thread of the Mishkan, it's not like our begadim, or like very thin threads. The Torah describes that every thread was made of six different items, our gaman and all the different materials, and you tied four together. So it was like 24 thick, each of the threads. So if you have a couple of those threads sticking out, it doesn't look nice. So that's why they would stick it in inside, so nothing would be sticking out. They would insert it in the edges. So where did he say this? Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, me'arge yurios lamdu. What did we have before? Mitofre yurios. This is me'arge yurios. From making the curtains in the first place. That's where you learn it, kosher and matir. Not when you have the swatches and you tied them together. That was Tofre Yerios. That was Rabbi Pinchas. But this is Me'arge Yerios, right? From the original weavers of the curtains, right? They were professionals. My Taima, where do you see this? Remember, My Taima, it always means, what's the source? Orech Hayriya Ha'achas, right? What's the length of one curtain? And we darshan from there, Kedei Shetia Kula Achas. We want long threads. You needed to tie threads together in order to have long threads in order to be the length of the curtain. Nifsa kaya koshro, like we said before, and if any of them rip, then you'll tie two threads together. Mikiva shay magia la arig, and once you get to the edge where there's a place to insert it, havishari le, you would untie some of the knots umale and just stick it into the side. Right? So you wouldn't have so many knots, they would have this professional way of insertion except for knotting. Right? The professional weavers were able to do that when they made the curtains. Again, you have the professional weavers. The earlier pshat was not professional weavers. They were just the sewers that would tie the curtains together. As we know, the different levels of curtains that are described that went on the Mishkan. Remember, the Mishkan did not have a roof of stone. Right? Wasn't a solid. That's why the Mishkan is different than the Beis HaMikdash. One of the differences, the Mishkan and Mikdash was the roof. right? The Mishkan had the walls, right? Had the crushim, but on top it was curtains. And the Beis HaMikdash had a roof. Beis HaMikdash had a roof. Okay. Says the Gemara, a little bit more about Kosher and Tofer. Rabbi Tanchuma b'shem Rav Chuna afilu erev sheba, even the weft, right? The less conspicuous threads, as the Karbata Eda says, right? They're not as nikar lo hayeba lo keshev lo tayemes. The Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan had to be so beautiful that even the thinner threads couldn't be sticking out and couldn't have any knots. I wanted to make sure that it was perfect and blue. Right? We can't fathom, right, the Mishkan and the Mikdash, the beauty of it. Right? It was such people came from far and wide to see the architecture and the beauty of every curtain. Right? The different ways that it's described by the Torah, that you could have woven something and there's two different pictures on the different sides. I don't really know how to do that. Right? You have a lion on one side and Kruvim on the other side, as it's described. So you have to make it perfect. You have to make it perfect to be a place of inspiration. Okay. Tani Rav Hoshea, Kotel Shel Tamarim. A little more about the Malacha of Kosher. You have a basket of dates. It holds dates in it in order for, right, some dates that aren't so ripe yet you put it in it, but the basket is also made of palms from the date tree. That's a Kotel Shel Tamarim. So you have a basket of dates, but you also have a cover on the basket that's tied. Upitilya shel tamarim. We'll get a different type of container for the dates. Korea umatir ubevachelo yikshar. You could rip open the cover. You could rip the cover off and untie it. Umatir ubevachelo yikshar. You just can't tie it up back up again after. Right? This is a malacha that sometimes you're allowed to do an act of destruction in order to get into what you want for Shabbos. Vachelo yikosher. Says the Gemara veizu hatara. But isn't this, aren't you untying? So why isn't this a malacha of untying? Even at least derabanan, is it a malacha? You're not allowed to untie. So where I says no, you're allowed to here. Naseh, it's like kishover esachavis locha venagrogris, like we have elsewhere. We'll have later on in this parak. We have it in Maseches Beitza that you're allowed to break open a barrel in order to get to the dried figs inside. Just like you're allowed to break something open without any words on it, we're talking about, you're allowed to break open a container to get to the food that's inside. Therefore, so too here. So is this saying, not 100% clear, is this saying that this is that heter, or it's like that heter? Meaning that heter seems to be based on the principle of mekalkel. Mekalkel, doing an act in a destructive way, is asur derabanan, usually on Shabbos. But if it's for a Shabbos need, I'm allowed to. Let's say I want to eat a bag of potato chips on Shabbos. So if I open it, that bag is no longer useful for anything, especially if I rip it in a way, not on the words, that it's not useful. So I'm allowed to do it. If I tear open, there's a napkins. I ran out of napkins. I have to open up a new container of napkins. I'm allowed to rip it open. Again, not on the words. And, that's it. The plastic, throw out the plastic, right? Because that's mekalkel, which is usually the Sidra Banan, but mekalkel for a Shabbos need generally is allowed, right? Gets into the big issue of opening containers. The issue of containers might be if you open something and it becomes a good kli, so then that might be different. That might be a bone app. But generally, if it's going to be destroyed, is this mekalkel? Is this what we're talking about? That's what we're talking about here? Or it's saying it's parallel to mekalkel, right? Just like you have a heter of mekalkel, that is a drabanan, is mutter for Shabbos eat, so too matir. So too, this untying, you're allowed to do in order to, for the Shabbos need. Okay. Either way, it is mutter. The Rishonim discuss that heter that I just mentioned, is a big discussion in the Rishonim, whether it's across the board. There is a sugya called the mustaki. Mustaki. It's in Beitza. Tosfos mentioned it here on this sugya. Tosfos, kuf, mem, vav, amad, aleph, in Masechta Shabbos. Tosfos says, there's a seira between two gemaras, whether you're allowed to just break something open in order to get to what's inside. Right, whether the Gemara and Mishnah Erevin and Beitza. So one answer of the Rishonim is that maybe it's only allowed if you have an inferior type of falling apart kli. Right, if the kli is such an inferior type of kli, that you're allowed to break open. But if it's a strong, serious kli, then you can't. So if you have that here, the Gemara doesn't talk about whether this is about mustaki or not, but that is part of the issue lamaisa. What has called mustaki? What kind of dinky, like the potato chips bag? That's not a kli. That's falling. What are you going to use that for? It's a little plastic. So that would be probably called mustaki by the poskim. But if you have something a little more serious, that's already gets into more serious issues about whether the heter applies to that. Okay, big lamaisa question. We'll continue. Says the Gemara, aznayim shel diskia. If somebody has, aznayim are like literally the ears, the flaps of a diskia. A diskia, as described by the Karbat Eida, first white line, shnei sakim mechubarim zel hazeh. It's like a double bag. A double sack, maybe it goes on like a donkey or a camel, right? You have a double sack on each side. So if you have the flaps that cover it and uncover it, kosher matir, you could tie and untie those. Naseh kiposeach kukurol b'shabbos. It's like opening and closing a door on Shabbos. Wow, very important line that has many, many ramifications in Hilchos Shabbos. And that is, if you have a malacha that's meant to be done and undone, what's the example given by the Gemara? Opening and closing a door. If I have a hole in the wall and I put up a board in order to close it, that's the malacha of boneh. If I put up a plywood in order to close if I take it off, I made a wall and I've destroyed a wall. But if I open the door and close the door, that's not closing up a hole in the wall. And why? Because the door is meant to be opened and closed and open and closed. The Mishnayos later on in Shabbos talk about what if the door is not like we have doors on the hinges. It's just like a huge board that I take off and put on the floor. It's not attached. And then I'm going to put it back up each time. But I use that as the door. That's not so simple. That's not so simple because that's not there to be part of the door. So, but in general, a door is okay. But that's the principle. Rav Ribiat, we mentioned yesterday, also calls this Derech Tashmisho. But here it is. It's in the Gemara. Right? Anything that's meant to be done and undone is not a true malacha. And therefore, it's not going to be usher on Shabbos. So here, these flaps, it's not really tying and untying because it's meant to be done and undone very soon. Ramosha Feinstein and other posts can talk about transition glasses. Right, you go outside, they become sunglasses. You go inside, right, they become regular glasses. Why isn't that soveya? At least soveya derabanan, eino shel kayama. That's shel kayama, shel at least derabanan. No, it's nothing. It's meant to be done and undone. And it's misasik, you don't even know, do anything. But even without misasik, you go outside, it's this. It's back and forth and back and forth. That's not a true malacha. That's not a true malacha. Many poskim say about zippers. Zipper, isn't that tofer? It's a perfect connecting two sides of something, right? Zippering, right? Isn't that at least an iser derabanan? Even if it's going to be undone, done and undone. So, you know, no, it's meant to be done and undone. So zippering is not a true malacha, right? You might say, oh, zipper your pants is going to get undone in every hour, every time you go to the bathroom. What about zippering your talis bag that's not going to be used until next Shabbos, right? So there are some poskim that are machmir. It's an issue. But if you say zippering inherently, if you close a door, and you know you're not going to open the door for 5 years, it's still mutter on Shabbos. It's still mutter on Shabbos. Because it's meant to be done and undone, even if you're not going to open it for 5 years. So it might be the same. So again, this is the principle of these flaps. Again, plowing and unplowing is not meant to be done and undone. Right? There are certain malachas you can't... my shirt is meant to be get dirty and then get cleaned and then get dirty and then get cleaned. No. That's what you do to undo it. But it's not a natural, you know, maybe for a child, but even so, that's not going to be called a malacha that you could do for done and undone. Okay, we continue. Now, Oreg, let's talk about Oreg a little bit. This is, the next one is going on, weaving. Rabbi Chanina Amaracha Yechus Kol Sitra. Weaving is only when you pull the thread all the way through the cloth. All the way through, and you have to do it twice, right? Because it's for two threads. Amar Rabbi Yanai, Amar Lo Rabbi Chanina. They told Rabbi Chanina, "Say v'kra, go and read." What is this talking about? What's he getting upset about? So some say the Karbana Eda says that he's known. Rabbi Chanina is known as somebody who's baki in Tanakh. So Rabbi Yana is telling him, "Go back to Tanakh, right? Go back to Tanakh. You don't have to give your opinions about Talmud because it's wrong, right? That's one upshot. Or others, the Gilyoni Ashaz, Rabbi Yosef Engel here says." No, it's like sometimes you have the Lashon in the Bavli, Puk Tani Levra, just go outside, like throw him out of the base medrash. So that's this Lashon. Say Kra, right? Say Kra, right? Vatanina, why there's a Mishnah Kilayim, befeirish against this, right? Rabbi Yanai says, you're telling me the thread has to go all the way through? But look, in the laws of Kilayim, where you have to also know how threaded together they are, it says, Asa Shnei Rasheha Letzad Echad. It says if you pull one thread through and then pull it back the same way, you pull one thread through, and basically you have the two ends on the same side, right? That's going to be also Mishum Kilayim. It doesn't say anywhere there that you have to pull it all the way through. There's no requirement like that. How can you say Berachos Shabbos? You have to pull it all the way through. You see, by Kilayim, there's no such requirement. Me'ata, ad, skip the next word. Yechus v'yesuk. You have to go all the way through. It doesn't mention that. V'yata taninan. And also the next line of that Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rashi Yishalish. You have to do three times. Me'ata, the yachus v'yesuk v'yechus. You have to pull it all the way through each time. You don't have that requirement anywhere mentioned. Ela hachin v'hachin. But no, doesn't matter if you pulled it all the way through or didn't pull it all the way through. Rabbi Yehuda argues and says, even if it's not pulled all the way through, it's going to be usser, period. Chutzish chilu b'machatz. What if you have, totally different context, and you have a string that you threaded a needle, right? You put the thread through the needle. Afilu kasha mikan mikan. Let's say you put a thread through the needle, and then you made a knot on each side of the thread. So it can't get out. You can, like, put the needle back and forth. It can't get out. Eino chibur, it's still not considered connected for hilch, even though you can't get it off, unless you undo it or rip it. It's not called a chibur for hilchos tuma v'tara. Meaning if the needle becomes tamei, the thread does not become tamei, and vice versa. It's not considered one item. Not considered one item. Right, remember, the tuma doesn't only go by what's touching. Right, because sometimes even if something's touching, it might not be able to transmit. So here, this is not called a chibur. Tafru lebeged, what happens if you take a needle that has a string attached to it, and then you tie the thread to a beged. So tafru lebeged, hachut, chibur lebeged, ve'enu chibur lemachat. Now the string is buttled to the beged, because it's like tied onto the beged, but it's not a chibur to the machat. Why? Because eventually you're going to take the needle off. So it's not considered part of the beged, and therefore if the beged becomes tame, the needle does not become tame. One more comment the Gemara says about the Mishnah we quoted up above, right? We just quoted the Mishnah before about even if you pull out two on the same side, right? If you pull one string through one way and then one the other way, that's called threaded for Hilchas Kelayim. Reb Yona, Reb Yosef, Treveon Amri, Bakasha Mikan and Mikan. Right, the two ends have to be knotted so it doesn't just like fall back. Right, when you pull a thread through a baguette, if you don't tie it at the end, then it's just gonna, you know, come out. So it has to be knotted at the end in order for it to be Hilchos Kilayim. And the Gemara says, really? Mileim derabanan plikin. The Rabbanan, the following Rabbanan, seem to argue. Dom Rabbi Ba Rabbi Yirmiyah b'shem Rav, hamemateyach tzadav b'shabes, chayim mishum tofer. If somebody is memateyach, if somebody measures, right, memateyach, the Rechai Kadievsky describes this. Beged atofer v'omeid v'iniyach achud arach. You have a beged that is ready, and you have one string that's long. V'tifredu shtei chatichos ha-beged zu mizu b'mikzas. Right, you connect two begadim. Hamateach begadim stada b'shabes. Chai mishom tofer. That's sewing together. That's sewing together. But one second. If every time you, and the Gemara, the Bavli also talks about this. If every time you're tofer things together, you're only chayiv if you're kosher it at the ends. So every time you should be tofer, shouldn't you also be chayim mishum kosher? But this line doesn't mention that. No more mishum tofer, mishum kosher. If you're right, like what Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yosef said, that every time you do tofer, you also have to tie it at the end so it doesn't come out very easily, then why does this and many other sources only talk about tofer? It should be tofer and kosher, right? And therefore, because that's not mentioned, it must be no, you can be chayiv tofer, sewing two things together, even without the malacha of kosher. Again, if when you pick it up, the whole thing falls apart, then it's probably not even tofer. But if you weave it around a few times, so it's gonna stay for a little while, so then it could be the malach of tofer, even without kosher. Period. Says the Gemara. What is this next line here for? Explains the Pnei Moshe. Look at the Pnei Moshe. Kriya b'begadim. Mishim de b'masis and chashiv l'tshravayu. Hamachatcho v'hakoreya hainuhach. Because, the Mishnah quoted different parts, different the stages of clothing making. So we're going to talk about two closely connected acts which have to do with the clothing making. Kriya bebegadim v'chituch ba'oros. Kriya, tearing, the bach of korea by begadim, and chituch, cutting to ba'oros by hides. What does that mean? Kriya is usually done with one's hands. The malach of korea, you could rip a beged, but an or, a piece of animal skin, is much tougher. So that, you would need a kli. So that's chituch, the malacha of cutting to size. Ba'oros. Kriya bebegadim be'emsa, and kriya is usually done in the middle. Why? Because you usually tear something in order. Rav Chaim Kadievsky says, amanas litvarit. We're talking about you rip two things, because you're going to want to, like, connect it to somewhere else. right? So you tear it in the middle in order to connect it to somewhere else. Kriya korea manas litfor. As we know, korea is only daraisa if it's almanas to tie it back together or do some type of constructive activity. V'chituch ba'aretz benatzad, and the chituch by the hides is just when you cut it at the edge in order to make it nice. So that's chituch. So kriya is generally in the middle, chituch is on the sides. This the machalfin, and some switch it and flip it. Kriya ba'oros v'chituch be'begadim. It's possible to have the mlach of kriya with your hands by hide, and chituch having to use a kli by begadim. Where? So kriya ba'oros be'ilin rikichaya. Maybe if you have very, very soft skins, you'll be able to do the mlach of kriya by it, because it's very soft. V'chituch be'begadim, if you have some hard beged, be'ilin levdaya, like you have felt, which is very thick and hard, and you would have to cut it with a kli. Period. Next. Okay, there's a lot here, but let's at least start. Hatzar chilazon v'potzer. One of those might remember this from the Bavli. Hatzar chilazon v'potzer. If I trap a chilazon, let's call that a little snail, v'potzer, and I squeeze it in order to get out its blood in order to use for tcheles, is tani tani chayiv shtayim, is tani tani in a chayiv alacha. Some say you're chayiv two malacha, some say you're chayiv one malacha. Man damer shtayim, ach v'shem tzar v'ach v'shem netilas v'shama. If it's two, so one, I trapped it, that's tzar chilazon, and then I killed it, right? Or I at least moved the blood. That's a question. Tosfos discusses there in the Bavli. If you take out blood, remember, black and blue mark, right? That might be chovel, which is netilas v'shama, even if I don't kill it. But either way, netilas v'shama, if you're chayiv two. Man damer achas, haydehu, right? What if you say you're chayiv one? Which one? Mishum netilas v'shama, for netilas v'shama. So, v'les leit seida, what about trapping? What about trapping? So, v'les leit seida, and not seida. Stop there for a moment. Where's the seida? Where's the seida, according to the Shita? So the Mefarshim in the Bavli discuss it. The Pnei Yeshua says, maybe a chilazon is ein b'mino nitzod. It's not usually a trapped animal. Oh, what do you mean trapped animal? Don't you get the tchelos from it? So some say, well, often you don't go and trap it, but it, every a couple of years, there's another chazal that says it goes up on the land by itself, and then it's just stuck on the land. So it's called omed v'nitzod, right? Nitzod v'omed, we discussed earlier, right? Certain animals that walk so slowly, they're not subject to the malacha d'araisa of trapping, because they're basically called trap. So maybe here too, they're usually, that's what the Nitziv also says, maybe they're on the ground, so therefore they're ein b'mino nitzod. If you look in the Rav Chaim Kanievsky here, he also discusses what's the less late seida. The svirle, the called davar shehu mavdilo michiuso. It's not seida. But v'yesh befarshim. Shachilazo matsuya laharim. Shebisfas hayam. Shayap poltan v'darkan betseida. There's that daya. Right? If there's no seida because it's on the ground. Then oyesh lomar, eino parin v'ravin. We had this a couple of weeks ago. Because they don't reproduce in the same way, therefore there's not going to be shchita, and if there's no shchita by this animal, there's not going to be seida by this animal. Different day is why seida wouldn't apply here. Okay, I guess we'll have to stop by Va'asya. Sorry, there's a lot more here, but Be'ez Hashem will continue with tzad and chilazon next time.